أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. For his health and well-being, please recite the second one louder. Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of the Imam of our time. Recite the third one even louder. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for another opportunity to go through the 10 nights of Muharram and to remember Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, to shed tears, to beat our chests, to remember some of the teachings that he has given us. It is truly a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that not everyone gets that opportunity every year. We should be very thankful. We've gone through the 10 nights, and this night, the night of the 11th, is in many ways a night that is more sorrowful, more sad, more difficult to take than the previous nights of Muharram. This is the night that the family of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, salamullah alayh, after a very difficult day, after losing all almost of the men that were there with them, are now facing the enemies of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn and the bodies of the shuhada. This stage of the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is an extremely important stage of the movement of Imam al-Husayn. The movement after the incident, the stage of it that follows the shahada of Imam al-Husayn, the shahada of Al-Fadl al-Abbas, the shahada of Ali and al-Akbar and all the companions. Standing there, having the perseverance to stand against injustice, the injustice of Yazid, in order to, according to the words of Imam al-Husayn, to enjoin good and forbid evil, the share of it that had to do with the men, with the brothers, with Imam al-Husayn and his companions and his male family members, that was done today and it ended this afternoon. But if things would have ended there, if Imam al-Husayn had not made the wise decision of bringing his women and children with him, what he had set out to accomplish, which was, according to his own words, al-islah fi ummati jaddi, to bring reform, to change things, change the wrongs that were happening in the ummah, in the nation of the Holy Prophet, that would not have actually happened if things would have ended today. If there's no continuation, it wouldn't have had that impact. Why? Because the deaths in Karbala themselves, the shahadat in Karbala themselves, were not what was going to cause that change in the Ummah of the Holy Prophet. It was the word getting out and people knowing about this that was going to make that change. If this was going to be done right, the word had to get out that something like this has happened, and it needed to get out in an authentic way. Meaning what actually happened was supposed to be heard. People were supposed to hear what actually happened, not Yazid's version of what happened. In Ziyarat Ashura, you read, وَهَذَا يَوْمٌ تَبَرَّكَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا أُمَيَّةِ وَابْنُ آكِلَةِ الْأَكْبَادِ اللَّعِينُ بْنُ اللَّعِينَ عَلَى لِسَانِكَ وَلِسَانَ نَبِيِّكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. And it continues, تَبَرَّكَتْ بِهِ بَنُوا أُمَيَّةِ. Banu Umayyah were considering Ashura to be a day of barakah, a day that they were taking that the shoes, the, this is very sad, unfortunately, this happened, but according to at least some of our ulama, the whole idea of the horseshoe being a lucky charm came from Karbala. The horses that trampled the bodies of the shuhada, the horseshoes were sent to different cities as lucky charms. Okay. Tabarrakat, tabarruk, there's barakah. Whatever comes from Karbala has barakah in their version. Because we say there's barakah in whatever is attributed to Karbala as well, but a completely different picture. Their version of Karbala, their version of what happened, if that would have gotten out, not only would the movement of Abu Abdullah not have any positive impact, that could have had a very negative impact. Right? It's really important. If something happens, that event, the word getting out, and there being accurate reporting on what's going on, can have a very, very good impact. If you have, I'll give you a couple of contemporary examples. Why is it that there are so many lies? This just popped into my head, an example for us to understand, all right? It still will not bring the point home all the way where I would want it to, but it's an example that would help us. Why is the media portraying such a negative image of the Islamic Republic? Why? To the extent that Westerners that are not even Muslim, one of the brothers from the community was telling me, he was visiting Iran from Dubai. On his way out, he was sitting by a Frenchman, he was from France, not Muslim. And he asked him, so how'd you find Iran? He said, I loved it. He said, yeah. The rest of the world doesn't know. The rest of the world doesn't know. They think that the Islamic Republic is a third world country. They don't have roads. They don't have this. They don't have that. There are walls in the streets separating men and women. There's people standing there with sticks, pushing people to the prayer rooms, to the masajid, hitting women. A very wrong image. Why is it that such a wrong image of the Islamic Republic is being portrayed? Because if people get and understand what actually is happening, the progress that is being made, despite all the difficulties that are being created by the powers that are controlling that media, then that would encourage a lot of the people in the region to learn from that example, learn from that model. Otherwise, you don't need to do much. You don't need to put any cosmetics on it. Just show what's actually going on in Iran. At least for a lot of people, mashallah. The right image, the proper image, okay, the enemies of Islam, if something happens, they would want to portray a wrong image of it. It was important that an authentic image of Karbala, of what actually happened, is given to the people. That's the role of the Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha. And it's a very, very difficult role. A very difficult role that she has got to, under the leadership of the Imam of her time, Imam Zain al-Abidin. A lot of times that's missed. People don't understand that. I was sort of puzzled about that. I wanted to see something clear about the leadership of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Sometimes it's wrongly said that leadership at that time was not with Imam Zain al-Abidin. No, the Imam of the time is the leader. Imam Zain al-Abidin is the Imam of the time. I found a very interesting hadith from a completely different time and a different part of our history that's really important for us to know as well. I'm not going to get to that history, but I'll just mention the grandmother of the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, the mother of Imam al-Askari, salamullah alayhi. Imam al-Askari sent the 12th Imam with his mother, Imam al-Askari's mother, to Hajj before Imam al-Askari was poisoned and then eventually he passed away, was martyred. He sent them to Hajj so that they are away. And one of the obligations of the mother of Imam al-Askari was to be able to help the people in Mecca, where she was going to stay at, know about the existence of the 12th Imam, the Shias, not those who were against the Imam. The government of the time, the Abbasid government of the time, was trying to see if there is an heir to Imam al-Askari. And if they would have found that out, they would go and try to find him and kill him. You know that story. For the Shias that were confused, they didn't know if they do have an Imam after Imam al-Askari. What's going on? She was one of the people that was supposed to give that information to people. And it was said that the wasi, Imam al-Askari made this very clear, the wasi of Imam al-Askari was his mother. When one of the Shias from Egypt went to Mecca and met up with the mother of Imam al-Askari, salamullahi alayhi wa salamullah alayha, they were asking around and they were told, well, the mother of Imam al-Askari is the wasi. The Shia from Egypt said, well, the wasi is supposed to be a male. An imam is supposed to be a male. How is this? She said this, she said the same way that in order to conceal the imam's role at the time of Imam Zain al-Abidin and the imam of the imam, the person who helped conceal the role of the imam and protect him from harm was Zainab salamullahi alayha. She was seen as the one who's leading this under the leadership of the imam of her time though. Similarly, the mother of the 11th Imam is seen as the wasi, mentioned as the wasi. She plays a very, very important role. We don't have time to go over that part of history. I encourage brothers and sisters to go and read up on that. But under the guidance of the Imam. Everyone needs to work under the guidance of the Imam. The Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha, has the obligation that under the leadership of Imam Zain al-Abidin, she makes sure this message gets out right after Karbala. Not after a few months when they get to Medina. No, they have got to take advantage of every part of this trip, every city or village they go to, starting with Kufa, before even Kufa, brothers and sisters. SubhanAllah, I was reading, it's Maqtal, right? You're reading the hardships of the family of the Ahlul Bayt. But you realize that she's even playing that role in Karbala. And I'll explain what I mean by that. She's playing that role in Karbala towards the enemies that just killed Imam al-Hussein. Starting to create awareness. The role of women in Islam is a very important and lengthy subject. It requires a lot of time, and I encourage everyone to go and read up on it. There's a lot of misconceptions both ways. There's a traditionalist understanding of the role of women, I call it traditionalist, which goes back to the cultures of the Middle East. And there's a modern sort of reading of the role of women in Islam that's sort of imposed on Islam. And there's Islam itself, what Islam says itself. And we've got to learn that from looking at models, role models like the Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha. The role of the Lady Zainab after Ashura, after this afternoon, is a very, very fundamental role. And she's got to bring the feminine in her to make this happen. It's a role that a woman can have. Imam Zainal Abidin couldn't do the same thing that the Lady Zainab did. Imam Zainal Abidin couldn't have done it. The Lady Zainab is supposed to do it. The other women are supposed to do this. What in the West is seen as feminine is a different side of women. I don't want to pollute our gathering here and talk about that. But compare, all right? Have that in mind. There's something that God has given women that as a woman, it is supposed to be taken advantage of in the way of Islam, in the way of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah is what causes people to reach perfection. Ibadah of Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Everyone's supposed to do ibadah of Allah in order to reach perfection. Human beings, as human beings, regardless of gender, worship Allah to reach perfection. Then men, as men, have certain qualities. They're supposed to worship God by using those masculine properties of theirs. And women have certain feminine features that they're supposed to be worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using those feminine features. One of those feminine features that women have is emotions. Emotions. Lady Zainab salamullah alayh took full advantage of this God-given feature and quality. Women have strong emotions and they can bring emotions out of people even if they are men. This is a quality that God has given women. But it can either be used in the wrong way or it could be used in the right way. Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi told the Lady Zainab salamullah alayhi, don't allow yourself or the other women in Karbala to be belittled through their display of emotions. You've heard this, right? In different wordings you've heard this probably, I'm assuming. A lot of speakers say this about the Lady Zainab. And it's found, various wordings from Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Don't cry out loud. That needs to be understood. When Abu Abdullah al-Hussein tells him, do not cry, do not... One of the cultures that they had was to do latm of the face. One of the other cultures is to rip your clothes, right? To show your sadness. Imam al-Hussein told the Lady Zainab, don't do this. If she would have allowed her emotions to play out in that manner, the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, the enemies of Imam al-Husayn, would have gotten exactly what they wanted. A caravan of people whose men have been killed and whose women are taken by grief such that everyone in that camp is depressed, okay, and seen as depressed and therefore belittled. The Lady Zainab salamullah alayha is very, very careful. When you compare two, I'll just compare two of the incidents that we have with this lady, or two sets, two examples of one and one example of the other. In Karbala, after Ashura, after this afternoon, in the evening, it says that she did cry. I thought Imam al-Husayn told the Lady Zainab not to cry. She did cry. She said a lot of words as well. She said things. But the way she wept, the way she cried, the words she used, not only did not make them, see, let me picture this well. Okay, let me go back. Build the scene for us so we understand what the difference that I'm trying to make between two different ways of her dealing with the situation could have been. You have an army that is coming and looting the women and children there, okay? An army that feels proud of what they just did. They felt really proud of what they just did. They killed all the men that were there. Some of the known heroes of Arabs, Bani Hashim, that's a very well-known tribe. These men are all killed. Very happy, very joyful, very proud of what they just did. Now they're coming and attacking the women and children. Okay? So if a woman shows that she's scared of that, and she cries, and she's crying because she lost someone, and it doesn't have any impact on the guy, what it does is that it's going to make that man feel more proud of what he has done. That's what Yazid wanted to do, right? He wanted to have the women that came from Karbala march into Damascus to show the people what he has done to them. That's what he wanted to do. If these women would have acted in that way, would have felt depressed, would have felt that they've lost everything, would have felt that we don't have the courage and the ability to stand and to say things, what they would have done with that, what would have happened was the men would have actually felt more proud of what they did. It would have made the family of Imam al-Husayn feel depressed, feel helpless, that type of feeling. That could have happened. But what did the Lady Zainab do with her words or crying? She's crying. She's showing emotions. She is crying. And she is talking about losing Imam al-Husayn. But the way she does it, brothers and sisters, she makes the enemy regret what they did. See the difference? I know I wasn't too capable of doing that, but hopefully you get a lead on this. Instead of allowing the enemy to feel more proud, we've been victorious over these people, now we have all these women and children as well under our control, she made them right there, right after what they had done, to start regretting what they did. And they start, these men, full-grown men, started to cry about what they had done. Okay. When she went into Kufa, the way she cried made all the people of Kufa hate themselves for doing what they did. It's the display of emotions. It brought the spiritual side of these people. It woke themselves up. Okay, the nafs, that's in there, the nafs al-lawama that's in there, that needs to be woken up, the emotions that the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha woke these people up. A man can't bring out emotions in that way. Lady Zainab has to do it. But the same lady, when Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, la'natullah alayh, in that court, tried to again play on the feminine feature, the emotions of this woman, by reminding her of the way her brother was killed before her eyes. All right, it's huge. He tried playing on that. Said, look at what God has done to your brother. He's trying to play on those emotions and get the result that he wants. This woman starts crying and he feels arrogant. That's how arrogant people are. By disrespecting and belittling people that are powerless before them. But Lady Zainab didn't allow him. She was crying before that, making everybody else cry. As soon as he said this, she said, وَمَا رَمَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. I did not see except for beauty. What are you talking about? She's got control of her emotions. She uses them where she's supposed to and brings out the good out of people, makes that nafsul lawama come out of the people that have done so much wrong, which then led to a huge movement, the movement of Tawabin. You think the Lady Zainab salamullah alayha didn't have anything to do with that? She woke them up. Using what? Using her feminine feature of emotions. Okay. This is one aspect. There's a number of aspects of what happened after Ashura. And what the lady Zainab salamullah alayha, as a female, as a woman, did in order to make sure the movement of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn is able to have the impact that was intended. And through what she did, that was possible. Whether it's in Kufa, in Karbala, in Kufa, on the way, in Sham, all the way through. Salamullahi alayha. Salamullahi alayha. But this afternoon, brothers and sisters, she did what she had to do, but with a very heavy heart. It's very, very difficult. It's easy to say for me here that she did that. And she did it very well, but it's very difficult to picture what she went through and she was able to do that. السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي ومعدنا الرحمن وخزان العلم ومنتهى الخير. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day in and day out. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Hussein, my beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates. While his mouth was dry of thirst, روحي لك الفداء. Where are you, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas? The men have begun looting the town. The little girls are saying, why did we ask for water? We want our uncle back. If Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was around, these men would not have the courage to come and pull the earrings off our ears. روحي لكم الفداء What happened this afternoon? It's difficult to picture what was happening. Girls, little ones even, full-grown men chasing after them to take away their jewels and sometimes even some of their clothes. And the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha does not know whether she should go and visit her brother's body or she should take care of the little orphans now. There's a time that one of the young ones, one of the daughters of Imam al-Hussein salamullahi alayhim, goes, I guess she had wanted to see her father last time. She went to the battlefield, found her father's body. I don't know how she recognized that body without its head on it. after the horses had trampled over the body. But I guess she somehow did recognize that body. She began to cry. Instead of the man coming over and trying to soothe her heart, she just lost her father. They came over and started beating on her to separate her from her father's body. Some of the daughters of Imam al-Husayn, perhaps in Sham, remembered the scenes on this night. She told her father, "Oh father, that evening, if it wasn't for the lady Zainab, for our aunt Zainab, they would have beaten on us so much. Every time they wanted to whip us or beat on us, the lady Zainab would come in between. She took all the beating. No wonder on this night, when she wanted to do her night prayers, because she never leaves them out, she couldn't stand to perform them. Ya Allah, the sorrow and grief of this night. What happened on this night to the household of Imam al-Husayn? روحي لكم الفداء. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.